This morning's Bible reading comes from the book of Philippians, reading chapter 2, verse 19 to 30, if you care to follow in your Bible, so it should come up on the board. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Angelo. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. Allow me to pray before we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for the opportunity for us to be here. And Lord, the privilege that we have to sit under your Word. And so, Father, may you speak to us. Help us, Lord, to listen. Help us to understand. But also give us the hearts and the willingness to live according to your word. We ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may have heard this story, if you've been part of churches, about a young boy, young man who was in the church. And this is a church where the offering plate was passed around, or a bag was passed around. And as it was coming closer to him, he reached out to his pocket to kind of find a coin or any money that he could put. And to his horror, he couldn't find anything. So as the plate was coming closer and closer to him, he didn't know what to do, but he had a great idea. He put the plate on the floor, and then he jumped onto it, and he was offering himself fully to the service of God. He gave the most important thing that he had, himself. Now here at our church, one of the values of our church is generosity, isn't it? We encourage one another to be generous with the time and the talents and the resources God has given us. Now, it is a recognition that God has given all what we have to be used to serve one another for His glory in His church. Now, the last few weeks, we have been looking at this beautiful letter of Philippians that Paul wrote, a letter of joy, and we've been tracing the theme of joy, haven't we? Paul said there's joy in the partnership of the gospel. There's joy in the gospel progress. There is joy in suffering for the gospel. There is joy in humility, and there is joy in growing spiritually. Now, one of the underlying themes that has been throughout this letter is unity. Paul is calling the church to be united. And the passage that was read to us this morning by Angelo highlights another key that would unite the church. What would that be? It is serving Jesus. Now, if we glance over this passage, and even as you were reading through this passage, you might have wondered, what on earth this passage is doing here? Right? This is kind of Paul's travel plans. Right? He's hoping in the Lord. He's confident that he'll be released from the prison and he would be able to come and visit the Philippians in person. But before he arrives, he's hoping to send Timothy as soon as possible. Verse 19, he says, because he expected this mutual gladness when they hear about news about each other. Verse 23, the news that Timothy might bring to Philippians could be about Paul's trial. How is it all going? And so Paul says, Timothy will stay a bit longer to see how things are going with me. Then we find in verse 25, this man named Epaphroditus. And Paul says, I'm sending him who has actually come from Philippi with a gift. Now he's carrying this letter back to the Philippians. So it's kind of more or less a travel plan, kind of itinerary. What's going to happen in the near future, kind of, isn't it? But when we look a bit closer, we begin to understand, Paul doesn't say, I'm sending Timothy first, I'm sending Epaphroditus first, and then Timothy, and then finally, hopefully, I'll be joining you. He's saying much more than that, doesn't he? Because in these verses, Paul goes on to talk about Timothy and Epaphroditus, specifically about the way that they are serving the Lord Jesus and how the church should treat them. He picks up some of the themes that we've looked at over the past few weeks. Themes like humility and concern for others. And he presents these two men as real life examples of serving Jesus. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to learn from Timothy and Epaphroditus what it looks like to serve Jesus. And then consider how we might treat those who serve Jesus amongst us. So what does it look like to serve Jesus? Let's look at Timothy. Now, Timothy didn't need any introductions to the Philippians because they already knew him. Back in chapter 16, in Acts chapter 16, Timothy was with Paul when he brought the gospel to the Philippians. And Timothy would have joined Paul in the riverside, riverbed prayer meeting. And he was there when the first converts got baptized. So in these verses, Paul could have just written, all right, I'm sending Timothy as soon as I can, and then just stop there. But if you look at verses 20 to 22, he includes this glowing recommendation for Timothy, right? Why? The reason for this glowing recommendation is not to introduce Timothy, but to let the Philippians know Timothy, who they already know, is a sound servant of Jesus. Now, why would he want to do that? Why would he want to let them know about Timothy? Because the Philippians may have expected Paul himself to come and visit them in person. And at the news that Timothy is coming instead of Paul, might have made them kind of disappointed. We are kind of having the second best. So Paul wanted them to know Timothy is the real deal. He's a full-blown servant of Jesus, and he says why. The very first thing we hear about Timothy is not about the degrees that he has, or we don't hear about all the board meetings that he's chairing. He doesn't tell us about how many people that was converted by his ministry. We are not told about the number of books that he has written or the important people that he's hanging out with. We are not told about the charm and the charisma that he has. Rather, we are told what's in his heart. He has a genuine love for believers. Have a look at verse 20. It says, Paul says, I have no one like him who shows genuine concern, interest for your welfare. Paul is saying, he's like me. I love you, and he has the same love for you. He really loves you. Verse 21, everyone else around me is looking after their own interests. They're thinking about themselves. But Timothy is different. He's burdened, he's worried, he's anxious about your spiritual growth. He would have been genuinely sad when they heard about all the tensions in the church. He would have been genuinely glad when he heard how the gospel is progressing in Philippi. See, although he lives in Rome with Paul, Paul is saying his heart is in Philippi with you. He has a deep love for those who belong to Jesus. And as he writes about Timothy's heart, Paul is illustrating, he's commending to the Philippians and to us the heart that we should have when we serve Jesus. We must have genuine concern for others. We must love those who are loved by Jesus. Now, one of the things that we could do always when we love someone genuinely is to pray for them regularly, right? I'm going to get you to have a bit of a chat amongst yourself. How can we show genuine love for other believers? Have a chat with the person next to you. How can we show genuine love for other believers? Have a chat. Care to share one or two thoughts? Any thoughts, any ideas? Am I seeing two hands at the right at the back? No? Okay. How do we show genuine love? We listen to them, forgive, and then tell them. Any other thoughts? Yeah, yeah. Go out of the way and pray, and if they're taking your time. Yeah. Yeah, practical help. Share scripture with them. Yeah, there are so many different ways that we can show genuine love, isn't it? Genuine love for other believers especially. Now, there's a second thing that we hear about Timothy in these verses. We hear that about his unwavering commitment to the gospel. Unwavering commitment to the gospel. Have a look at verse 22. Paul says, the Philippians would know how Timothy has proved himself in the work of the gospel. They would know how young Timothy came with Paul 10 years ago and shared the gospel with them. When the riots broke out, when Paul and Silas was put in prison, Timothy didn't lose hope. He didn't lose the passion for the gospel. He didn't run away saying, well, you see, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here. He didn't do that. He didn't lose the joy of salvation. He, like Paul, he was not ashamed of the gospel. Now, Paul considers him as a son, a spiritual son. And Timothy kept on serving with Paul, like learning the job of his father, learning from Paul. He has been willing to be mentored and trained by Paul on how to share the gospel and how to defend the gospel, how to face persecution with joy. Now, after many years, when Paul is in a Roman prison, where is Timothy? He's with him, probably not inside the prison, but he's with him in Rome assisting Paul. Now, Philippians should have no doubt about Timothy's commitment to the gospel. It's like he has runs on the board, as it were, of the work of the gospel. See, Paul is again urging not just to admire or appreciate Timothy. He's saying, look at his unwavering commitment. Look at his steady commitment to the gospel. So put the gospel first in your life. Don't lose the joy, don't lose the excitement of the gospel, don't downplay, don't ignore the gospel, which is the power of God to save people from destruction. Don't be ashamed to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. And to say that he's the only one who could save people from hell. See, Timothy is a man who serves Jesus, who has genuine love for people who are loved by Jesus. And he has unwavering commitment to the gospel. I mean, are you surprised that Paul is saying, I'm going to hold on to Timothy a little bit longer? Because he sees the value of Timothy. He says, I'll keep him as long as I can. But Paul hopes to be, he hopes to be released from prison and to visit Philippi. He loves them, but the apostle also knows that his days are numbered, right? He knows that before too long, he might die. And when he does, Paul wants to guarantee that there'll be many others like Timothy who will take his place. You see, Paul is not seeking to protect his ministry. He's seeking to promote the gospel. And to do this, what does he do? He promotes those who are serving Jesus. And that's what we must do as well, don't you think? We must encourage and empower and commend the next generation of gospel servants. We must get alongside them to encourage them to keep on going, keep on commit their commitment to the gospel. Because that's what the Apostle Paul did with Timothy. He didn't just train him. He asked the church to recognize him as a gospel servant. Then in verses 25 to 30, we meet Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Now, the very first thing we learn about this man is that he was willing to serve, his willingness. If you skip forward into chapter 4, verse 18. Now, Epaphroditus is here in Rome because he put his hand up, right? The church was probably asking, all right, we have a gift to take to Paul. He's in Rome. There's hundreds of miles away. Who is willing to go and take this gift to Paul? And Epaphroditus puts his hand up and says, hey, I'm willing. I'm willing. Let me take this gift. Now, he's taken this gift to Paul, and now he's on his way back. He has returned to Philippi with a letter from Paul. You see, while everyone else was looking into their own interests, Epaphroditus, he put his interest behind, and he put the interests of others above his own interests. He was willing to do rather a risky job. Take up a job that would eventually nearly cost his life. So Paul is calling the Philippians, look at him, your own brother. And he's calling the church, us, to be willing to serve. And Paul writes elsewhere in the letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. He says, we are the body of Christ. Each one has been given a gift to be used to build the church. We need each one of us in this church. Each one of us has a part to play. So be willing. Be willing to serve in the church, in the local church. Start in the local church. Peter says these words, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. What is he saying? Has God given you a gift? He has. He has given each one of you a gift. Find out how you can use those gifts in the local church, in God's kingdom. And if you're not playing your part in the local church, using your gifts that God has given you, you are depriving the church of your gifts, of God-given gifts. So be willing to serve. As we saw in our church value, be generous when you serve. Be generous when you serve. And the second thing we learn from Epaphroditus is his faithfulness. His faithfulness. In these five verses, we hear about the cost of his service, right? I don't have these verses on the screen, but you can look it up on your Bibles, verse 26. He was anxious. He was homesick. Verse 27, he became sick from the journey, very sick that he nearly died. Paul says, God had mercy on him and healed him. Verse 30, he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life on your behalf, he tells the Philippians. Now, why does Paul write all these things? I think Paul wanted the Philippians to see how faithful Epaphroditus was in serving Jesus. You see, he didn't have to take the gospel to the nations. He didn't have to pastor a church. He didn't have to be a deacon or a musician. He had this one job, right? He had to be the delivery guy, and he was faithful to that task till the end, even when it costed him nearly his life. Have a look at your own lives. Are we faithful in the way we serve? Now again, something for you to talk about. What does faithfulness in service look like? What does faithfulness in service look like? So have a chat to the person next to you. All right. Care to share one or two? Empowerment. Being empowered. Yeah, people recognizing what their gifts are and using them in God's kingdom. Giving sacrificially. Yeah, having a passion, single focus. What else? Steadfastness. Amen. Praise God. Liz is praising God and thanking God for the faithful prayers of the church who have prayed for him and Bev over the past few months as he went through a difficult season. Yep. Trusting God to provide. Continue to do what you believe by the circumstances. Yes. Yeah. Continue towards the end. So don't give up. Commitment. Yep. Fantastic. Good thoughts. Good ideas. Keep chatting and keep thinking through how to be faithful in serving. So you see, your service may not be glamorous or up front, but whatever you do, wherever you are, be faithful and serve Jesus with that faithfulness. Finally, just want to have a look at How do we treat those who serve Jesus? How should we treat those who serve Jesus? As we've noticed, compared to Timothy, Epaphroditus did not pastor a church. He was not a missionary. He didn't receive any special visions. He did not preach or teach. He was not a deacon. He was not a U-Butte musician. He wrote nothing. And as we saw earlier, he's just a delivery guy to the naked eye, right? But have a look at how Paul describes Epaphroditus. This is my brother. He's my brother. My brother in Christ. He's my co-worker. He's working alongside me. I'm doing the upfront work. He's doing the behind-the-scenes work. But we are equal in our work. My fellow soldier. Partnering with Paul, Epaphroditus is actually fighting with Paul. He's defending the gospel with Paul. He's a messenger. Technically, he's an apostle sent by the church. He's a minister, the word for those who are helping, supporting, looking after Paul's needs. He's a minister, like a priest. Do you see what Paul is doing here? Although Paul is this great big apostle, missionary, church father, church founder, he's lifting Epaphroditus to his level. He doesn't take Epaphroditus' ministry for granted, does he? Why does he do that? Because he doesn't want the church, the Philippians, to look down on Epaphroditus either. He's not just a delivery guy. He's doing the work of Christ. He wants them to see that Epaphroditus is equally important, valuable, like any other ministry in the gospel, in the church. So don't take him for granted. Paul says, welcome him in the Lord with joy. Honor people like him. See, we must learn from Paul how to appreciate ministers, people who serve in the church. To see each act of service as equally important in the kingdom of God. Because we are all serving, as we saw earlier, to build the church up, isn't it? To build the body of Christ up. What you're doing in the church, again, may not be upfront or glamorous, but you and I are serving the same Jesus, serving the same gospel, brothers and sisters in Christ, working together, fighting together, ministering together, building the church. But perhaps, as we conclude today, one of the things that we might do, we might want to do this morning is, or this morning and the weeks to come, is to take time to appreciate those who serve amongst us. Not just the leaders and the pastors, and we are up front. No, have a look at the church roster. On a given Sunday, guess how many people are serving in the church on a given Sunday in the roster? Have a guess. Twenty, spot on. There's around 20 people who serve each Sunday in the roster, doing various things. You just see me up here, or the service leader, or the musicians. There are so many others who are serving behind the scenes. Those who welcome, those who serve teas and coffees, those who clean the church, those who give, those who read the Bible, those who teach children, those who just the garden. I mean, when you come here, the garden is swept because somebody's gone ahead and done that. There used to be a guy. There is a guy who's gone on holidays. Someone who lives next door. He comes every morning at 8 o'clock, opens the church doors, put the heaters and the air conditioners on, open the gates, so that we all can just come through happily into the church. So let us not take their service for granted. Don't complain and look for loopholes and, oh, he didn't serve this way, he's not wearing nicely, or she said this. Take a moment to reflect their service. Take a moment to appreciate their willingness to serve, their faithfulness to the gospel. Take a moment to appreciate their commitment to serve. Take a moment to appreciate their heart for Jesus and for the church. I'm going to give us a moment to reflect on what we've heard this morning. And is there anything that God is wanting you to process through? Is there anything that God wants you to take on board and think through? So take that moment to reflect on what you heard, and then I'll pray. Let's do that. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to pause and reflect. And thank you for the things you have revealed to us. We thank you, Lord, that when we serve, we are doing what Jesus has called the church to do. When we serve, we are doing what Jesus did, serving one another. Lord, help us to be humble, and help us, Lord, to be willing, be faithful. Help us, Lord, to have an unwavering commitment to see the gospel being spread. And help us this morning, we pray, that we will continue to seek to promote the good news of Jesus wherever we are. Help us to be good servants of Jesus. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.